check, check, A, check, check, B. We've got 1 minute past the hour of 11 o'clock. You are listening to WMFO Medford, Tufts University Freeform Radio. I am your host, Zeke Duckworthy. You're listening to the show known as Radio Zeke in this hour, which I am very grateful to the Tufts folks for providing me. I generally try and bring in people who are local musicians, maybe not so local sometimes. Right now, I've got in studio with me a gentleman named Justin Nash Fisher, a very well-known player around town. Let's get a level on you. Are you there?
Hey, yeah.
Yeah, okay, you're good. All right. Yeah, Justin, I know from playing the open mic over at the Haven, where he was putting it on with his partner, Alec. But Justin plays all over the place. He's an ex, well, nobody, it's like being a Marine, right? You're never ex-Berkeley. It's like there's no such thing as a former Marine.
I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess it unfortunately, it goes with you.
Yeah, well, yeah, and he's rocking the full Dwayne Allman look today. If you were in studio, you would be, you know, so you'd immediately walk in and say, well, is that guy a school teacher? No, is he a cop? No, this guy's a musician. Obviously, he's a musician. Just look at this guy. So, yeah, that was your request there, that Beach Boys that we opened with. Let's see. What do I have to do here? Before I do anything, I have to play a PSA. So let's just do that for a second.
This is the news. This morning, we are saluting the 2.2 million women who have joined in the war effort. They now make up 37% of the workforce, changing their role forever.
The prestigious Harvard Medical School is breaking ground today, opening its doors to new female applicants.
Today, little girls all over the world look to the sky, where the first woman is now in space.
Military stereotypes are challenged today with the trailblazing promotion of a U.S. female officer to four-star general. It was just announced that the vast majority of last year's doctorate degrees were earned by women.
We've come so far, but our news is changing for the worse. More women die from heart disease and stroke than men, even though it can be prevented. Make a change at GoRedForWomen.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the American Heart Association's Go Red for Women.
A useful and socially defensible PSA right there. It's 4 minutes past 11 o'clock. Greetings to all of you listeners, wherever you may be. If you're in the Medford, Somerville, Watertown, Cambridge, possibly in Boston area, you can probably pick us up on 91.5. You may be listening live. My name is Zeke Duckworthy. This is Radio Zeke. If you're on the internet, you're listening on WMFO.org, and I know we've got people in Kiel, Germany, we've got people in Cape Town, we've got people in California, we've got people in Oklahoma, we've got people in Texas right now, so there are people listening all over the place, and that's a great opportunity for a professional musician to sort of hype his services, so take it away, Justin Nash Fisher.
Yeah, man, hey, that's awesome. Do you know... for sure that these people are listening, or is this
we have
listened in the past?
We have little drones. They're about the size of a dragonfly. And if you've ever listened to this show, we dispatch a drone, and in real time we are getting information. So if your drone bugs you, it's because we're trying to really build up our audience here.
Cool. Yeah, man, it's a pleasure to be on the show. Hey, everybody. Who's listening? How many? I don't know, but...
there's some out there.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. I know that... I think Mrs. Leary is listening. I think maybe my mom is listening.
There you go. Yeah, right.
I think maybe my roommates are listening. I don't know, but hi, everybody. How you doing?
They can pick it up on the podcast after, which is available on duckworthy.com. I put up all of the so-called air checks. Now... talk to me for a minute about the Beach Boys and why you insisted on opening with that cut.
Well, I mean, first of all, I think that particular song and many of the cuts off of that particular record, Pet Sounds, is just top five of all time worldwide. You know, obviously haven't explored even the tip of the iceberg of the amount of music that's out there in the world. But I think as far as American music and British invasion and all that kind of stuff, that era, that was just life-changing for so many people. And for me, when I realized how much of a genius Brian Wilson was. So
he just played. A friend of mine went to see him, and he said, you know, at this point, Brian Wilson is, you know, regrettably, he's kind of past it, but the band is just, you know, a staggeringly great bunch of session people who can play. In fact, we were just talking about this morning. What do they play? And the answer is whatever they want to, you know. Yeah. Now, all you listeners out there who don't know Mr. Fisher here, Justin Nash Fisher, a musician out of Atlanta, he's in that category. What do you want to play? Well, whatever you want to.
Yeah.
What do you want to play?
You want me to play a song right now?
Yeah, I think I'd like you to play a song right now. Sure, what's it going to be?
I think for my own sanity, I'll start with a cover. Another of the greats. One of my favorite songs to play, and those who've seen me play live, especially at the Haven, this will be a little throwback.
All right.
To, I guess, last year when...
All you people listening, Justin just learned how to play guitar this morning. Yeah.
So this is a little Dylan for you.
Out your window and I'll be gone, and you're the reason I'm traveling on. Don't think twice, it's alright. Well, there ain't no use turning on your light like you've never done before. Ain't no use in turning on your light, babe. I'm on the dark side of the road. Say something, change me, my mind and stay. Never did all that much talking anyway. Don't think twice, it's alright. Yeah. I just say fare thee well. I ain't saying you treated me unkind. You could have done better, but I don't mind. You just kind of wasted my damn precious time. But don't think twice, it's alright.
There, of course, that's a Dylan song, Don't Think Twice. It's everybody's got their strong favorite Dylan list in their head, you know, and that's right there. It's a good song, man.
It's got to be mine. Yeah,
yeah. So do you play that at weddings sometimes?
If I get asked to do some folky, you know, chill stuff for cocktail hour, yeah. Or maybe pre-ceremony, but yeah, never during the dancey reception dinner.
That's because you sort of, you know, slurred the word folk, which kind of slurs into the word funk.
Yeah.
And, of course, after the ceremony, people are drinking a little and they want to hear some funk.
Sometimes during the ceremony.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right, all right. Yeah, well, this is, we'll talk about, you know, well, let's talk about the music career and business. I mean, one of the things that I've noticed about people that that come out of the Berkeley community in particular, Belmont too maybe, but Berkeley in particular, is that you learn how to get gigs and actually, you know, like try and make a living at this hardscrabble business called music, which is not all that easy. So you got to do what you got to do. And one of the steady ways you can make money is that people do have people play weddings. Mm-hmm. And you've got a wedding a band booking business, is that right?
Well, it's not mine, but I started the Boston chapter of a worldwide guild, as you could say.
Uh-huh.
I was asked to by the company in, I think it would have been, damn, what year is it?
Well, it's getting there. Somewhere around 17 now.
2014, I think, I was asked to start the Boston chapter of a wedding band. And
yeah,
basically, I asked a lot of my closest friends, starting with my buddy Chase Potter, and then my roommate at the time, Sam Einzig. And Chase is... Well, easily anybody that's listening that knows Chase knows he's one of the most talented people on the planet when it comes to music, and he can play anything. He does play anything, everything. I'm playing a wedding with him this Saturday. He's playing fiddle on the ceremony, bass on the cocktail hour, and bass on the reception. He's going to do some backup vocals. He could sit in on drums. He could grab my guitar and make me look like an idiot. And Sam Einzig is...
I'm shaking my head here.
Yeah, no, but you got to hear him. I think you might have at the Haven at one point. But he's in Alex Band.
Oh, right.
Now.
Yeah.
He plays
yeah.
guitar and fiddle and the zither. I don't know.
Right.
A little
right.
bit of everything.
Yeah.
So I started... I just asked my closest friends at the time, and my roommate, Sam Einzig, who's a phenomenal drummer, and... and then we worked our way up, and I was like, hey, to people in the hallway at Berkeley, hey, you want to be in a wedding band? And of course everybody's like, wedding, they just, the cashier sound goes off in their head,
as it should,
cha-ching.
Yeah.
The rest is, I guess, history, and I started consulting with them 2 years ago.
So you're booking on the order or playing at north of 30 a year.
Like, oh yeah.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, well, booking not so much. I'm sort of taking a backseat to that.
Yeah.
Because it got a little stressful.
Right.
But playing, yeah, I'm doing 40 this year, and I did around 40 last year and the year before, so I'm close to...
I should ask, you know, without revealing any of the, you know, innocent victims, and you can change all names, but what was your favorite wedding play and why?
What do you mean?
What was the one that is sort of memorable? It's like, boy, I'm really glad I'm in this. You know, I really like.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? It happened a few times over the years, but the most recent one was with my roommate now, Aubrey Haddard, who's just gonna be a Grammy winner,
right on,
very shortly. She knows that. Hopefully, she's listening. Points. Roommate points.
That's right.
Anyway, it was with her, and the band consisted of her on vocals, me on guitar and voice and MC, a guy named Marshawn Fondren on drums, who will scare anyone that thinks they can play the drums. Who was it? Theo Brierly on bass, who's, you know, he's like the best. He's like an... I struggled to call him an assistant, but he acts like one all the time. Like,
right.
He's there before me at a show, which is weird. At every wedding, he's there before me. He's like, hey, is there anything I can do for you? He's not getting paid anymore to say that. He just is the most stand-up guy in the world. Anyway,
You know, the rep of particularly bass players, since I play bass in a band one time, is it like, you know, the bass players, they might not actually show up. Yeah, I'll be there. And then, you know, like, get there and where's the damn bass player?
He's not
here.
He's changing that.
Yeah, right. So he's single-handedly, he's changing the way the world views bass playing as a profession.
Yeah, and he's doing a very good job at changing that. And Theo, if you're listening, I doubt it. He's probably teaching a class. He's a teacher as well.
Uh-huh.
High school music teacher, which is just like, you don't do that for the money, you know, you do it because you're a great guy,
great girl,
whatever. Right. Whatever. Okay, so that anyway,
you were cooking at this
this wedding.
Yeah.
So and I want to say all the names that were, everybody there was just incredible that was playing. Noah Conrad on trumpet. Yeah. and Jokes, and
that's a big band. I mean, you
Ryan Linville on saxophone, and I believe it was Ian Giles on the keyboard.
So you got like 9 people at this wedding playing.
Yeah, we usually have at least a 6 or 7 piece.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I do a 4-piece or a 3-piece, but we don't like to do that because it just cuts the repertoire in half.
Right, sure.
Anyway, so we walk into this wedding, and on the tables are records, vinyl records.
Mm-hmm.
It's from Pink Floyd to Nine Inch Nails to what am I thinking of? Just everything. Beatles, Nirvana, everything. All these records were just sort of propped up on the tables.
Mm-hmm.
And just right away, we're just like, damn, this is going to be really cool. Because the bride and groom must love music, and we have the right band for it.
Right.
I think that was the very first time I did this little trick where I get down on the ground on my back, and then I bring the song down low.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was playing Iko Iko by Dr. John.
Yeah, baby.
And I bring it down really low. I get everybody else down on the ground, and then I do a kick up from the ground.
Wow.
I don't know. It's usually after I've had a few whiskeys, but
these are important things to keep in mind here. I'm going to play one of the songs that you recommended we play here, because we're talking funk here.
Oh yeah, let's do it.
All right. Yeah, you know, I was not familiar with Dyke and the Blazers until you queued this up for me. And, you know, I mean, you were saying, you know, before there was James Brown.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know the exact years and dates and whatnot. In fact, I probably should have done that research before I go on the radio and make a fool of myself. But I don't know. They were about the same time, but according to a very, very reliable source by the name of Phil DeSisto, who I just joined a band with called Gold Blood and Associates. Check it out. It's really, really fun music. he said that Dyke and the Blazers were the first people to use the word funk in a song. And I think that's pretty momentous.
Well, that's pretty funky music right there anyway. So
it's nasty.
Yeah, 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 exactly. I mean, I've heard you do stuff at the Haven, you know, with like, mm-hmm. well, with Alec. I mean, yeah. You guys did like an awesome Superstition. I mean,
oh, yeah.
But then like after that, you said, no, I can't do it anymore. I got to be on vocal rest. And I can see why. Yeah. You're on vocal rest right now.
I suppose.
Well, as a professional, you've got to, you know, keep your instruments, you know, under reasonable control, or, you know, not
well,
to be able.
I had at a wedding this weekend that I went a little crazy at. So
what? You know, there are certain standards that they make you comply with at this radio station. You're not allowed to talk about, like, you know, you're not allowed to glorify intoxication, and you're not supposed to. I mean, you can play songs that do, but, you know, as a guest, they want you to, like, you know, be like real sober and, you know, Boy Scout-esque.
Oh,
you know?
Well, I'm wearing a three-piece suit right now. Right. My hair is slicked back, and
every word he says is a lie.
I'm just telling you. Banana.
Yeah. All right. you know what? There you are in Atlanta, down at the age of 13, 14. You're probably already pretty good at the guitar. And when did you pick up the guitar?
Well, I was 11 years old when I first made the decision to actually get lessons.
Yeah.
My mom was walking around. My mom is the saint of my music career,
uh-huh.
My patron saint. And hi, Mom.
There you go.
I had to.
Well, it's almost Mother's Day. I mean, yeah.
We're getting close.
Yeah.
And she was walking around a place called Music and Arts, which is a music store in Atlanta, and a guy named Preston Ashworth was sitting on a chair in there just playing guitar, and she walked up to him and said, "You don't happen to give guitar lessons, do you?" And he looked at her and said, "Shh, I used to work here and give guitar lessons, and now I don't." Long story short, I took lessons from him for about maybe a year, maybe less, and then I stopped, and from then on until I went to Berkeley, I was self-taught. But he taught me the basics, and I will always credit him with giving me a very, very solid foundation of music in general.
You know, there's people who, well, there's people like me. I play, you know, cowboy chords, you know, A minor, you know, F, C, you know. Like, if I get fancy, I might play a, you know, C sharp minor or something like that, you know.
Towns stuff, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, right. You know, and you know, so I kind of know my limits. And for me, it works good. Because, you know, my voice is not, you know, I don't have, like, a wide range. I'm not, you know, going to ever be a wowsy guitar player. But then there's people like you, and another one who you will know, of course, is Grant Bloom, who was in that very seat a couple of weeks ago. And you guys are playing, you know, like 128th notes, and you're playing chords I didn't even know they invented. And they're, you know, like, you're using literally every fret. If I look at your guitar, fret 14 is probably going to be all worn out. You know, this kind of just pisses me off.
Paid enough to be allowed to use those.
Yeah, well, you know, in the open mic world, there's a few other guys, you know, around who have put on good open mics in Boston. There's a guy named Tom Bianchi over at
Yeah,
he's actually kind of, he speaks highly of you, by the way.
Yeah, Tom is awesome. Hey, am I allowed to curse on the radio?
No. You're allowed to say, you know, frickin'. Let's keep it, you know, sort of FCC compliant.
Okay, because I almost said he's the Cow manure.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah,
but in no, a that's good right. way. You can say, in a good way.
Yeah, yeah.
Endearing
no, you can
cow
say
manure.
That. Yeah, you know, you can take the gentleman out of the South, but there's a certain amount of gentleman, you know, like you probably still, you know, in fact, you held the door for me. I was going to say you hold doors for ladies. You know, it's like not being a sexist pig, but that's just, you know, like you're just being polite. It's you're bred that way.
And, sure.
I mean, and you held the door for me, and I'm not saying you think I'm a lady or anything, but there you go.
But
Tom Bianchi was putting on one of his, you know, fabulous open mics at the Lizard. He's actually going to be a guest here on the 31st.
Oh, awesome.
Because he's retiring
yeah.
temporarily from...
George Woods is going to take over.
That's correct.
George
yeah.
is a great guy.
Yeah, yeah. But we're going to talk when he comes in about, you know, the music scene and what, you know, he won't play, of course, but you know, he could play. I guess he's a real
could.
Fine bass player.
He's actually a great guitarist and singer, too.
Yeah, yeah. He's a very funny guy. He's
I love Tom.
Yeah. But one night, somebody was coming in, and it was one of you Berkeley types, you know. And the guy's playing, and I forget, it wasn't that insanely great a bass player who, you know, does all that tapping, who had brought in a brand new Martin guitar that he's... Anyway, I'm sure you know who I'm talking about. You're searching your brain banks for this. But so say he was putting the capo on, you know, like at the fifth fret, and Tom said, no, man, there's no money above the fifth fret. Yeah, but he was wrong. I'm going to play another song here that you are requesting. This is a Mr. Dylan song here, and here we go.
Carina, Carina, get where you've been so long. Carina, Carina, get where you've been so long. I've been worried about you, baby. Baby, please come home. I got a bird that whistles. I got a bird that sings. I got a bird that whistles. I got a bird that sings. But I ain't got Carina. Life don't mean a thing. Carina, Carina, girl, you're on my mind. Carina, Carina, girl, you're on my mind. I'm sitting down thinking of you. I just can't keep from crying.
Mr. Elston Gunn, I believe, was what Bob Dylan went by in the day.
Yeah,
he had a lot of N's in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Three N's.
Yeah. You can't pull a musical trivia thing out and get it past you very far. Right?
Me?
Yeah. You have capacious knowledge. And
but there's people that I know very closely that would... put me to shame, that's for sure.
Well, everybody stands on the shoulders of giants musically and, sure, you know, in terms of trivia. And this is 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. You're listening to Radio Zeke. I am your host, Zeke Duckworthy. It's 11:31 local Boston time, wherever you may be in the world. Live in studio today, I have a wonderful musician, a gentleman named Justin Nash Fisher, and we've been talking about various musical, sort of musical career kind of things. But I'm going to have Justin play one of his songs right now. What's this one called?
It's called Nobody Cares When You're Dead.
Speaking as a town's, yes, you know, aficionado, I immediately...
Happy song.
Yeah, all right, of course. Okay, let's take it away.
Nobody cares in the long run. Reload your guns and take me home to where I'm going. Home is not where I've been. Home sure as hell ain't where I am. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Nobody cares when you're dead. Ooh, find something new to talk about. Unfinished lies without a doubt. I'm not looking for love. I want your money. I just need a reason for the pain. Everybody feels the pain. Nobody cares, and nobody cares. Nobody cares when you're dead. Everybody feels the pain. Everybody cares when you're dead.
Yeah, baby. When did you write that one?
I wrote that when I was not hungover at 3 in the morning, because I don't drink.
Yeah, okay.
That was about 3 years ago. Three and a half, maybe 4 years ago.
Well, you're touching on you're invoking the dark prince of chords there, and yeah. Music's got to play a wide variety of roles. I mean, you want the dance stuff, you want the dark stuff. I always figure, since all I once tried to write a happy song, and I failed dismally in it. The act of failing made me really, in touch with more despair than ever. So. And of course, the song didn't turn out happy, but that's just my curse. I'm not, I don't think that I'm destined to write a whole lot of happy songs. But I do comfort myself by thinking that at any moment, probably 3% of the listening market wants to hear really, like Elliott Smith, Nick Drake, Black Dog kind of stuff. And so it's not a big market, but it's a real steady market. And the best part of it is when you're dead and gone, if it's a really, really dark song, they'll keep listening to it after you're dead and gone. So I got that going for me.
Kind of what that's about,
yeah.
That song.
Yeah. Then you do need to occasionally, leaven the loaf with a couple of raisins of happiness.
And, sure.
When you're carving when you're skiing down the moguls of a music career and you're carving the perfect turns on your way to immortality.
Wow.
Yeah, you are often reflective I'm putting, you know, myself into your head here on, like, how did I get here? You know, it's kind of a mindfulness thing. So as you're playing, you know, you got everything that you've ever listened to. You know, we said this before, you know, you stand on the shoulders of giants. Hopefully you get to raise the sky a little bit, you know, on your own. But, you know, it's interesting because music is, it's the oldest thing people do. It's right up there with, you know, praying and you know, like putting, you know, sitting in the sun and feeling good. And, it, you know, no matter how sad the song may be, the fact that you can, that one can give voice to your innermost emotions and that somebody else can hear that is really a miraculous thing. It's, you know, right there. I mean, that's why they have wedding bands, right?
I guess so. I mean, I wish I could play some of my, I wish it was appropriate remotely to play some of my original tunes at weddings. But no, I mean, I think if you can be the type of person.
You don't do a lot of satanic weddings or, you know.
No, I did.
Peyote weddings.
I did a fairy wedding.
Oh, yeah.
One time where the bridesmaids were dressed up as fairies.
Did you play anything from like Disney, you know?
I have played A Whole New World.
Yeah, there you go.
For a ceremony, but that wasn't, that was some hogwash.
Well, I don't
want, clam jam free.
Yeah, not only are you a fine musician, but all of you listeners out there should be aware that when you hire this gentleman, you're going to get a real raconteur as a host, as an MC.
Oh, yeah.
And do they teach you that, or do you just have to be born with your foot in that tar?
I got thrown into the fire in the deep end, really, really just off the cuff, immediately. At the beginning of my career as an MC, as a wedding musician. I mean,
yeah.
My very first wedding that I ever was in charge of, I had done a couple before that weren't quite as, you know, hands-on for me. I was just playing guitar for like three before that.
Yeah.
But the very first one, I was, you know, I was doing everything. I was MCing, I was sort of coordinating. I ran the thing because the coordinator was a little bit, they buckle. It's really funny to watch sometimes.
Yeah.
The coordinators will buckle and they'll see that I've done it before. In that case, I hadn't.
Yeah.
And that I was capable of you know, you'd be surprised what you can do as any, you know, any person really under that kind of pressure.
Right.
But, MCing, is sometimes the most fun thing in the world. And sometimes it's the most,
Tedious
and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Sometimes I really do feel like I have a fire in my pocket.
Kind of like this interview that we're going through right now, right?
So.
Now, when was the first time you ever played out, ever?
Where my mind went was maybe not the first time, but where my mind went was back in my childhood neighborhood growing up. Back when we lived in kind of luxury, a little bit more than probably I deserved as a kid.
Yeah.
That's changed.
Yeah.
But, you know,
it's all karma. You
the know, economy right? is a beautiful thing.
Right,
it?
Right, right.
Anyway.
You're personally making America great again.
Yeah. I hope not.
Yeah.
Back in Atlanta, in Georgia... I played for Hank Aaron's. No, it wasn't Hank Aaron's. It was a celebrity golf tournament at the country club where we lived.
Yeah,
yeah. I know. I don't think
nobody's judging here. Let's
I think get, I'll never yeah. say that again.
Yeah,
ever on yeah. in public.
Yeah.
I was born in a country club, but I was. I think I was 14 years old. They asked me to come and just play guitar in the corner for like 150 or so celebrities. Hank Aaron was there.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I can't.
You Did know. You get a signed baseball?
I didn't, but I got a picture with him.
Really?
Which was pretty cool.
Yeah, we'll be posting that picture on the archives here. So.
If I can find it.
Yeah, that's great.
Anyway, I can't remember who else was there, but yeah, it was just me playing some very bad guitar in the corner. Some guy thought I was just the best thing since sliced bread, and he paid me like an exorbitant amount of money to do this at 14 years old, and I was like, I probably lived on that money as a kid for like a year.
So he was in fact the devil, and he lured you into this, and that was all. That's all it took was that, you know, $100 or whatever they gave you, and the rest was written in the stars.
Was that the first place I ever played? Well, that was one of the earliest. I think before that I had played with a guy named Chicago Joe Jones at a blues jam at Maddie's Rib Shack in Decatur, Georgia.
Yeah. Is this, you know, the kind of thing where people throw beer bottles at a cage?
No, it was actually quite family friendly.
Oh, right.
Although I think he got in some legal trouble later, I don't know, maybe not. But he was certainly a really cool guy, Chicago Joe.
And was he from Chicago?
I would assume so.
Yeah, I mean, nobody ever knows. You could call yourself, you know.
He was a blues man.
Yeah, right.
You know? I could, you know Sonny Jim, right?
Yeah, he sat in that very chair a couple of weeks ago, as a matter of fact.
Lord
yeah.
knows he's not the sunniest character in the
well,
world.
I made a mistake.
Yes, he is, actually.
Well, okay, but now I have to correct you. I always said, you know, sunny, like, you know, the star of the morning, you know, that rises.
True.
But actually, it's sunny, the son of.
The father's son.
All right, all right.
But still, you know.
Yeah. But he's, actually, he is a rather sunny guy.
He is a very sunny character. Yeah. Every time I see him...
lights up the room.
My cheeks tremble with glee.
Yeah. all right. On that note, since I know you're on vocal rest, I'm going to play this song right here, which is slightly different, but a little more up-tempo. course, that's a great Aerosmith. Dude Looks Like a Lady. I've got Justin Nash Fisher as my guest in studio today. You're listening at 11:46 Boston time on Wednesday, 3rd of May, to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. The show is Radio Zeke. That would make me, Zeke Duckworthy, your host, and that would make Justin Nash Fisher your guest. And Justin has been talking about things relating to being a musician, playing a few of his songs. Justin's a, I would refer to him as a stellar player, you know, high accolade, meaning like he can play anything he wants and sound as good or better than the original artists. You've done session work, I presume, have you not?
Yeah, not nearly as much as I'd like to.
Yeah.
In fact, if anybody's listening and they need a guitarist, hey, call the show.
Yeah, right, exactly. Or email Zeke at duckworthy.com or
Justin at silverarrowband.com.
What's your website, by the way?
My website is in construction.
Yeah, you know, speaking of construction, I just want to apologize for the beeping in the background because WMFO, as you know, has gone international, and we're building a 70-story headquarters building here, and the union guys outside are working hard, backing up trucks, pouring concrete right next to the microphones, and that's the beeping you've been hearing. All right, I see you're chomping at the bit here to play this this medley you've got here for us.
Yeah, this not just the Beatles. I'm going to do another song in there too.
Okay,
we'll see where it goes.
All right, good. Justin Nash Fisher.
Thank you.
Very nice little medley there. And I'm always deeply jealous of people who can effortlessly, you know, segue from song to song in the middle and change the chords and transpose and, you know, go up and down. And in general, play without having to think about it as much as a less accomplished or less practiced player would play. And it's pretty obvious when you know, somebody sits down and watches a good musician play that it's in the neuromusculature. They're thinking about it. They might be thinking about it a lot, but a lot of it is already built in.
It's a lot of muscle memory.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's also a lot of, I won't say practice, because it is.
Yeah, it's got to be
practice. Everything is practice. Muscle memory comes from practice. But it's kind of, at the risk of sounding a little kitschy and hippie-ish, it's reading the energy of the moment and whatever
song, sure.
whatever, you know, when I'm doing medleys like that, which I do a lot of.
Yeah.
And I often do the same ones, but I've never done that before.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I just felt like it needed some Billy Joel.
Yeah, right. Sure.
I don't know. Originally, I was just going to do a straight Beatles medley and see what Beatles song came next. But I wanted to do that. I don't know. It just felt right. So it's a combination of muscle memory and knowing the songs and knowing that.
Mm-hmm.
The medleys will go, the melodies will go well together, and
reading the room.
Sure.
Yeah.
Reading this very empty room.
Well, it's empty, but there's fourth
still,
wall out there, so you don't know.
In here.
Yeah, well, you don't know who's out there either.
Exactly.
This guitar that you're playing here, I usually like to ask people about that. You're saying this is the very first guitar you ever touched.
This is the very first guitar that I ever touched. Laid hands on, saw,
really?
In person, anything.
Yeah.
It was my mom's guitar. I think she bought it in the mid to early 70s.
Uh-huh.
My grandmother bought it for her in, I think, Las Cruces, New Mexico. Mom, you can correct me on that. I know you're listening. For a very small sum.
Mm-hmm.
Of probably 50 to 100 bucks, I don't know.
So it's not. What you're saying is it's not like a Martin, you know, D45. It doesn't sound like a piece of crap.
It doesn't, though. Because it has some kind of weird juju going on in there.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. It has trouble staying in tune, which you may have heard, but I don't know, man. There's something about this guitar that I will never be able to put my finger on.
You know, there's that guy. I'm thinking Jim Barkindale. I'm sure you know who he is. He's out of Athens, Georgia, and what he makes. What he'll do is he'll people like Jason Isbell, for example, will bring him an old Harmony piece of garbage guitar, and he'll like totally take it apart, rebuild it, costs like $8,000.
Yeah,
Baxendale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's the same kind of thing. It's, you know, the guitars might have something in there, and maybe they're real hard to play, or the action's wrong, or something like that.
Yeah.
But the wood is good, and the desire of the instrument to make noise that is harmonious is good.
Yeah.
For a second, if you don't mind, my guest here, Justin Nash Fisher, musician extraordinaire in and around the Boston area and elsewhere. We've been talking on Radio Zeke about you know, just music and things of that nature. Now, you are a Berkeley guy, and I thought I might ask. What if there was a particular standout teacher that you had there, somebody who, like, you know, really was, yeah, not to say that they all weren't, but like, if there's one in particular,
at the risk of offending some of them, I have a lot.
Yeah,
I just ran into one of my favorite teachers. He's a lyric writing professor named Mark Simos.
Uh-huh.
I just ran into him, and he's a great. He wrote some stuff for Alison Krauss and
mm-hmm.
and was on a couple of her records and a lot of other people whose names are escaping me, but he's one that definitely made me look at songwriting in a different light. Now, at the risk of wasting too much time, I'll say a few more names. Guy that absolutely blew my mind on guitar.
Yeah,
a couple of them. One is Rick Peckham. for those of you that are listening, he plays a telly with a neck that's made of a baseball bat. It's huge.
Really?
Anyway, I don't know. Probably not. But it's a huge baseball neck telly. And he's all about guitarmony and all different kinds of chords and blah, blah, blah. And then Dave Tronzo, who played with Bonnie Raitt and Paul Simon and all those people. And he just definitely had some conversations with him I'll never forget. And last but definitely not least, I saw Jeff Lockhart last night, who is a legend and blows my mind in being classy and tasteful and shredding all at the same time.
Yeah,
these are all some really influential people at Berklee.
Yeah.
Who made my experience there worthwhile. So
now, okay, Justin plays around, does a lot of professional private events. Are you going to have a show that people who might want to check you out in the Boston area?
God,
where are you going to play?
I could say that. I did. I'm actually...
you going to sit in on any sessions that you know about?
Well, I try to go to the B3 Kings at the Plow and Stars every Tuesday. Very occasionally they'll let me sit in. Very occasionally if there's not a lot of people there. And I work at the Plow and Stars, actually. I do.
Oh, really?
Just to pick up some shifts there every now and then. So tonight I'll be there at the Plow and Stars slinging drinks and food. And there's a blues jam there with Matt Stubbs.
Yeah.
And I probably will sit in there.
Right on.
At the Plow and Stars in Cambridge, Mass.
On Mass Ave. It's a place where you can easily get into trouble if you're not careful.
Oh, yeah.
I speak from
Indeed.
Personal experience.
I wish I had more shows I could tell people about, but I don't. And maybe I'll come back again and have more shows.
Okay, time's a little short. I'm not going to have you play another one unless you want to.
No.
Okay, all right, he's done. My guest has been Justin Nash Fisher. He is reachable at Silver Arrow Band, is that right?
Yeah, you can just find me on Facebook, Justin Nash Fisher. Find me.
Yeah, and you should, because it's really a pleasure to watch what this guy does and plays. All right, you have been listening to Radio Zeke, my next host, who's going to take this. I'm keeping the chair warm for Gabriella the Hun and her show One Pot Wonder. And I will close out with one of your last requests here, which is a St. Seneca song.
Oh, yeah.